Hello and welcome to the Professional Empathy Podcast. My name is Leanne Butterworth, empathy educator, TEDx speaker, and all-round empathy enthusiast. And in this episode, I'm so excited to discuss the role of healthy empathy in the tattoo industry. Joining me today is Brisbane tattoo artist Mark Richardson, owner of Iron Hides Tattoo. Mark has had a varied career, including custom font design, which ultimately led him to discover his true passion in the tattoo industry, specializing in custom lettering and typography. With a brain wired for intricate beauty of lettering, Mark finds immense satisfaction in crafting personalized designs for his clients while sharing their stories and experiences. Join us as we learn more about the role of healthy empathy in tattoo art. This is a must listen for tattoo artists and clients alike. Thank you, Mark, and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. That was a beautiful intro. Made it sound very special. Beautiful intricacies of lettering, was it?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to have to use that. Intricate beauty.
Mm. The intricate beauty of lettering. Mm. Now, I have the handwriting of a doctor.
Me too.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So today we're going to chat about your experience of the tattoo industry. Now, for those of our listeners who can't see, you are obviously also a client of the tattoo industry.
I am, yeah.
So we're going to get a little bit of a perspective on why this empathy thing is so important. So do you want to tell me a little bit more about yourself or a typical day in the tattoo industry? Is there such a thing?
Oh, boy. Every day is a little different, I suppose. I sort of feel like at this point, all my days have blurred into one. I think I've had one day off in the last 3.5 weeks, which was Sunday just passed. So typical day, gee, I wake up, I try and go to the gym and follow at least some healthy habits for my brain.
Yep.
And body, mind you. I'll usually get in pretty early to the shop. So appointments usually start around 10 o'clock.
Okay.
I'll typically be there about 8 o'clock just in case and make sure everything's set up and there's no issues, just in case anything looks like it's going to run out or whatever. I try and stagger my first appointments of the day to about 11 o'clock. That way I can make sure all the other guys are in that work in my shop and they're settled, clients are all in, no emergencies, that sort of thing. Otherwise it just adds far too much stress. And then, yeah, I'll typically tattoo all day. Feel like I've got a broken body by the end of it and probably carrying a lot of interesting emotional burdens as well, I think, by the end of most days. And then, yeah, wrap up. Then I'll probably clean the shop, do the rubbish, do the supplies, do admin, do marketing, do finances, everything else for the business. And then usually around midnight is when I finish up for the day.
Wow. How big's your team?
I've got 4 staff at the moment, which is a healthy medium for me, I think.
Yeah.
I've had more than that. And I think at one point we had 7 people in the room working at once and it was way too much for me to to survive, I think.
So you're not only running and managing a business and building a business, you're also on the tools as well.
Mm.
So that's a hard balance.
It is, yeah. Full-time employee and business owner.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
Is that sort of how the industry is generally set up, like lots of independent businesses? Or are there franchises in the tattoo industry?
There are a couple of franchises around, I think. The vast majority of people are independent. Even the artists that work in the studio usually work as sole traders. They're like subcontractors in a way. So they're not actual employees. There's no HR department. There's no superannuation. Like everyone is self-employed to some extent. And then they sort of work under my tattoo operator's license, it's called, to kind of own and operate a shop. So then I insure them and they work underneath my license and insurance, but they're still self-employed.
Okay. So there's still those team elements, but those additional, I guess, complications then, because we don't have the same HR department. There is no, I'm going to talk to the manager sort of thing.
Yeah, and there's also no contract or anything really that formal in place. So people kind of drift in and out and move and they can just sort of disappear. And that's how it is. You just got to figure it out. If someone doesn't come to work anymore and you walk in one morning and all their stuff's gone.
Wow.
That is what it is.
Okay, okay.
So Wild, Wild West.
I've been looking forward to this conversation for a very long time. I've been looking for tattoo artists who are interested in this mental health and empathy space and the benefit that it has on clients. So before we kind of dig into this healthy empathy conversation, the definition of empathy that I talk about and I talked about in my talk and all these sorts of things is healthy empathy is the ability to share and understand the feelings and perspectives of someone else and respond in a way that makes them feel heard, valued, visible, and safe. If we look at that definition, I know that sort of we chatted about that a little while ago. When I talk in these conversations, we talk about empathy for and empathy from. Today we're going to flip that. We're going to talk about empathy from the tattoo artist for the client. And then we'll flip it and we'll talk a little bit later about empathy from us to you. So empathy for the tattoo artist. Let's talk about empathy from for a second. Why are we having this conversation? Why is empathy from a tattoo artist to a client a conversation that we should be having?
Well, I think the entire job is incredibly intimate. You know, like I'll have a client book in for maybe 2 days back to back for like a large scale like piece of work. And by the end of those 2 days, it's like you've known them your whole life, like you're like best mates. And then I have clients that still message me every few days, sending me stupid memes, or they just keep in touch. Like we just become friends with the people that you work with. I think the experience as well, like it's going to be on someone's body forever. So it's really important to them, even though if it might feel like, you know, it's just another day at the office for you in a lot of ways. Like, you know, I've got five more tattoos after this one today. Like it's not that big of a deal. To them, it can be everything, you know, like you plan your whole week around taking a day off work and like getting hyped up for it, and then you're scared and you get the stencil on and you're nervous and everyone shakes when they're getting the stencil put on because they're like, oh, you know, what's it going to be like and all that sort of thing. So it's like this massive, massive event for a lot of people, I think. And I often think about times when I first got tattooed and how scared I was. Like, and I still, I think, sometimes get scared. I'll get tattooed by my own staff in the shop sometimes and still be like quite anxious about getting a tattoo and how it's all going to go. So I think, yeah, it's really, really important. I think that if you don't connect with your client and you're missing that kind of empathy and that sort of intimacy and stuff like that, it's bad. It can ruin the whole experience. And the tattoo is more about the experience than it is about the tattoo itself.
Explain that for me a little bit.
Well, I think you could have the most immaculate tattoo on your body ever, and if that person is a rude asshole and is inappropriate, or maybe is like even sexually inappropriate or any of that sort of stuff, or just doesn't seem to give a shit, then every time you look at that tattoo, that memory is there. People can come up and be like, that tattoo's so good. And you're like, yep, I've had it. I've got tattoos like that. It is what it is. And I'd hate for someone to have those kind of thoughts about me and then want to cover it up or whatever and then go through all of that hassle and just adds more trauma to people's life.
And you sort of think in terms of people who potentially it's either their first tattoo, which means they may not get another one. Like, what's the implications of getting your first tattoo to be a good experience?
Oh, boy, I think it's massive. The industry has changed a lot in the last, you know, decade, two decades or whatever, but I can remember going to get my first tattoos, which I think was probably 2008 or 9, so 15-odd years ago. The experience was very, very different then. I would walk into a tattoo shop and be treated like very, very poorly and be like, what the fuck do you want? And like that sort of attitude.
Yeah, right.
I'd be like, oh, tattoo, please. Like, you know, and then I'd leave and I would be way too scared to go back. And it took me a while to kind of go in. And eventually I walked into a shop and I met someone. I actually wanted to get tattooed by an artist and she wasn't there. And then another guy was there and he came out and just hung out with me and we had a chat. And I ended up getting tattooed by him. And we became really good friends. He now owns a tattoo shop in Melbourne. Yeah, it became, for years, it was the only place that I felt safe getting a tattoo was going to that one person. So I think if you can have that really positive first experience, then it can lead to like really good, it's really good for business as well. I mean, I went back and gave that dude so much work, like my whole chest, both my arms, like countless hours, 100 hours probably of work over few years. So,
and that's through feeling safe and building a relationship and not feeling like a burden or a number. And does communication and trust come in there as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of the time you have to educate the client on what's a good decision and a bad one in terms of maybe placement or size or some stylistic preferences and things like that. They might come to you with a tattoo that's blatantly, like, you know, a photo of someone else's tattoo and be like, I want this exact tattoo. And you can have a long chat about why you probably should change it a bit and like do something that's unique for you instead and stuff like that. And I think, yeah, if you're just churning out tattoos all day and not caring about the experience and stuff, then there's just going to be a lot of work walking around out there with your name on it that doesn't look very good either.
Yeah. So then by the sound of it, then that listening piece and that ability to read people and negotiate and emotionally regulate then can affect the outcome of something that's going to be on somebody's body forever.
Yeah, yeah. The tattoo's the easy part. It's everything else. It's all the prep, all the planning, all the communication, all the drawing. Like once, when it comes down to it, putting the needle in the skin, that's like just a technical, mechanical skill.
Yeah.
The drawing's done. The creative work is done for the most part. It's just everything else. It's everything else.
Yeah. So for clients potentially who, I mean, this tattoo might be a memory. It might be significant of some trauma in their life. It might be really scary or something that they've wanted to do for a long time. How do you manage around that? So if it's, for example, I don't know, some people, you know more than I do about the trauma that people then have tattooed yep. onto their body as a significant milestone, let's say. How do you navigate that?
I think at least 50% of the tattoos that I do are like that at the moment. I spent all weekend doing tattoos for a family that had father slash husband just passed away a few days prior, so they all wanted to get a matching tattoo for him.
Right.
So we cleared the shop and we just spent the day together tattooing. I had a good cry at the end of the day afterwards. And yeah, yeah, it's just part of the job. I don't know, I just you just have to be. I think everyone who's a tattoo artist should have done some kind of therapy.
Yeah.
So otherwise you're not going to survive.
Yeah.
So
as a general rule, so you've got your licenses and you've got your artistic skill and you've got all the OH&S that you have to do. Is doing things like therapy, mental health first aid, empathetic communication, like is that something that happens in the industry? Are these conversations that happen?
I have never heard of anyone talk about it ever.
Right. So that's my next market.
I think it should be. Yeah, yeah. I think it should be. I think everyone, I've actually had a conversation recently about someone that works at another studio. She sometimes works with me as well. And we've talked about mental health and like some of the stories we hear from clients and how it's kind of burdening us and stuff. And
yeah,
how we wouldn't mind looking at doing even like a weekend course or something
yeah.
in counseling or something in that space to be a bit better equipped, I think, to help people through that. And then also to be able to finish work at the end of the day and then leave that at work somehow.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not carry that with me.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And that's sort of where I talk about, I mean, there's a few really good programs in that space, but when I talk about empathy, I always break it down into the three types, which is emotional, cognitive, and compassionate. And they're not the same thing. And they are quite different in terms of how we communicate them and how we manage them, because there's healthy emotional empathy, the ability to be with somebody and recognize them and have good boundaries. Mm. And there's unhealthy emotional empathy where we kind of take it on and carry it. And without those boundaries and regulation and emotional literacy, it can wear us down and it can result in things like compassion fatigue and apathy. And we don't want that because like you've just said, if that trust and safety and communication isn't there, not only does it potentially result in a bad tattoo, a bad experience, but customers aren't or clients aren't coming back necessarily. So that self-care piece
it's
is
huge.
A business strategy.
It is huge. It's huge. Yeah, yeah, that's it. You only get one chance. The tattoo's only there once. Then you've got to add all the performance anxiety of not making a mistake and all your own things and trying to keep that to yourself as well. And then try not to lay in bed at night thinking about the fact that someone wanted to hurt themselves today, so they came and got a tattoo from you instead because they're not feeling too great, you know, and things like that. And just laying there being like, oh, should I reach out to the client? Like, where do I draw the line here? What is this? So, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, because, and I'm guessing as well, not every client that comes in knows exactly what they want. They are nice and calm. They are compliant. They trust you. Like, I'm guessing you have some clients who have special needs in some sense that they are overly anxious or they can't sit still. Or do you have clients like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a few clients that, for example, come in and bring their support worker or carer with them and things like that. And that person also does a consent form and is involved in the whole process, sits in on the tattoo. We talk the whole time, make sure everything's like, you know, informed consent and all that sort of thing. Yeah, I get a lot of people come in with just a range of different, just everything you can think of. Like, yeah, I have clients who, for example, are autistic and so they might have certain sensory needs. So like different gloves, different bedding, different just stuff that just changes, like just ways to accommodate different people. Because I now run a private studio. So I used to have a shop that was like on the front street that you could sort of walk in and out of. Now it's private. So it's it helps in a lot of ways, I think, with preparation for this kind of thing. So someone will reach out to me and then we'll talk over a period of 2 or 3 days and I'll get all that stuff out of the way and then book them in for the tattoo. And then when they rock up for the appointment on the day, I've already got it sorted. So it's just less to worry about. So I know that I'm expecting a client plus a support worker plus like extra time for these conversations and like all this other stuff. So it's a bit less wild. Mm.
That sounds hugely powerful in terms of, I was going to say a pre-interview or a pre-tattoo, but that ability for you to emotionally prepare, physically prepare, time prepare, does that reduce stress all around for them and for you?
It definitely does, I think. Well, it's really good for me because someone can send me, I mean, like yesterday someone was talking to me and asked me to cover some self-harm scars for them soon. I wanted to come in at a time when no one else would be there and like all that sort of thing, which is fine. And I asked for a photo of the spot that I'm going to tattoo and the scars, they're too recent. So I couldn't tattoo them. So then I have to have this conversation as well and be like, well, this needs to wait. Like you've hurt yourself quite recently here. And then it becomes this whole other piece as well. So I think it's really good to get all that stuff out of the way. And then when they come in, they've already kind of established like a good rapport with you. They feel safe because you've talked about everything and how you're going to accommodate them and all that sort of stuff as well. So I think everyone just has a better day if you do it all prior. And it helps me because I'm a chronically anxious person. Like I'm always very anxious. And so if I know I've ticked a lot of those boxes beforehand, it makes it easier for me to sit down and actually do the tattoo to a like high enough standard. Otherwise, I'll sit there and tremble and shake and worry the whole time. And then, it can become quite overwhelming. So,
with a lot of these conversations that I have, I sit here and I talk to people. Now, whether it's sex work or surgery or tradies, and when we have these conversations, it is me sitting here nodding going, well, isn't that obvious? Well, isn't that obvious? Like why? It's like, why doesn't everybody do this? What are some of the pushbacks or challenges in the industry? Why is, or does it feel like a pre-interview and this empathy piece and the listening and the conversing and the making sure that everybody has a positive experience? Why doesn't that feel like the norm in the industry?
Jesus, this is a spicy one. So I think if you go back in time a little bit with tattooing, it wasn't really about providing a service. It was as much, it was more about just like someone comes in, they sit down, they pick something off the wall, you stick it on the skin, you get them out the door, you make the money, like you're just churning over tattoos all day long. And I think for a lot of people, it's in their minds, they probably think that, you know, they're not making money out of this, all this extra work, staying up all night, planning all these things, going out, buying extra supplies to accommodate for special needs and then not passing that cost on and that sort of thing. So for them, I think it's like, no, my job is to draw. And then you come in, you sit down and put my headphones on and I do a good tattoo. That's the job. My job isn't to be your emotional support person or whatever. And there's still a lot of, I think, more traditional people out there that still have that kind of mindset. Whereas I think now for a lot of us, especially like newer tattooers that are coming in, they're just a lot more conscious of mental health and safe spaces and just other stuff outside of the actual art itself.
Yeah.
It's good though. I think it's changing. I think everyone's starting to shift in the right way. And I think if you don't do that, you won't get clients anymore.
Yeah. Or repeat clients. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So get wrecked. Like,
How important is word of mouth in your industry?
It's everything. Yeah. I remember thinking that because I've done art and illustration and built up businesses before off social media and YouTube and things like that. And I remember looking at the numbers and thinking like, oh, if I'm going to become popular as a tattoo artist and actually make a living off it, I'm going to need the followers and I'm going to need all this artificial stuff. And it has absolutely not been the case at all. The smallest Instagram account that I've got is my tattooing one. And all my clients are from word of mouth pretty much. Someone comes in and they tell everyone. Then you get the whole family and all the friends and then you're suddenly booked out and you don't have time to fit everyone in.
Yeah.
So, and I'm still very much unknown, I think, in the broader like tattoo community. It's only been a couple of years, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I found you through word of mouth.
Yeah. See, there you go. It works.
Because I was chatting to Liv at my gym and we were just talking about tattoos and I said, oh, this is a conversation I've wanted to have. She said, I've got an empathetic tattoo artist. Like, he's amazing.
There you go. Well, that's very sweet.
And the other day I literally was talking to somebody who said, oh, I want a tattoo and I'm really nervous. And I said, how close are you to Stone's Corner? She said, I'm just around the corner.
Yeah.
And I don't have tattoos. I'm too indecisive. I've thought about them, but I don't have them. But that power of reputation for any business is so powerful. When we talk about people will generally tell one person of a good experience, but they'll tell 10 about a negative experience.
Doesn't take much to destroy your reputation if you're not doing a good enough job, I think.
No. And like you said, that has very little to do with the quality of the tattoo and everything to do with that peripheral experience on the day and whether that person felt heard, valued, visible, and safe, especially in your space.
Yeah, there's so many people out there doing great tattoos, providing a crap experience, frankly, or doing things that they definitely should not be doing, like hygiene standards aren't up to scratch, or like inappropriate, maybe substance use is involved while tattooing is a common one. Just being like the whole sort of like sexually inappropriate behavior is a massive, massive thing. It seems like every other day I'm hearing about someone getting called out publicly for poor behavior and all that sort of stuff too. So, and these people are often the ones doing like the most incredible tattoos.
Yeah.
So they've got all the opportunity.
Yeah.
And just.
They're just missing the boat on that one.
Yeah.
So what's your advice then, if we talk about clients for a second, what's your advice for somebody who wants a tattoo, wants another tattoo, wants their first and only ever tattoo? What's your advice for them in how to find somebody who makes them feel that way? Like, I'm guessing you don't have a sticker in the window that says you've all done mental health first aid. Like,
my shop's hidden. You can't even find it.
Yeah.
I have to pretty much escort people in at this point, which is, it's by design. It's a different point, but it's intentionally that way.
Yeah.
Well, I think initially finding someone is super hard because there's just too many choices now, like with Instagram and Pinterest and stuff like that. It's like you can find an incredible tattoo anywhere. Like, everyone's doing them now. Like, it's not even that special anymore. So I think it's about, I often go on Instagram and I'll just like look at some work and find it. And then I'll look at who I've got mutually. Like, does anyone I know follow this person already? And have they been tattooed by them? And I'll just like suss them out and stuff like that. And then a lot of the time you can just message the person and ask if you can come in for a consult. Like, everyone does a free consultation. So you can come and sit on the couch for half an hour and we'll talk about tattoos and stuff. And you can decide whether you think that I have like the right vibe or and the right kind of person that you want to spend a day with, basically, getting hurt.
did you listen, and what sort of questions did you ask, and what's your vibe as such? Yeah. Would I trust you to put something on my skin?
Yeah. Because we'll often have people in and then I'll introduce them to the other staff while they're there, and the other clients will all hang out and have a chat and just kind of get along. And then the client kind of gets an idea of, what the space feels like and what it'll be like listening to me all day. While I hurt them for money. So,
Wow, you and Liv have a lot in common.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. And I guess that description of how important it is about to have that empathy, build that relationship, build the trust and the safety and the communication and the connection so that not only you get a positive tattoo, but also a positive experience, which then adds to the positivity of the piece of art itself. Mm. What's it like? And, I mean, you've just described you work from the crack of dawn to midnight. You're running a business. You're doing all of the things. Mm. You've got staff to manage. You've got clients to manage. The thing that gets me is then you have to operate at an elite level for like 8 hours straight in very close proximity to somebody with your own stuff, with your own pressures, with your own steady hand.
That <It's hard.
laughs> boggles my mind. How do you operate at an elite level with that amount of, I guess, stress and pressure? What are the sort of things that you do in that space?
I try and do as much self-care stuff in the little free time that I've got as possible. I quit drinking like 6 or 7 months ago. Like, I go to the gym almost every single day. I try and go for a walk in the mornings before work if I can, try and meditate, try and journal, try and talk to other people in the industry and offload a bit of my trauma onto them if they have the space for it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's too hard. And there's times where, like for me in particular, I have a hard time sort of putting personal issues away when I'm at work. So for example, if I'm single, but if I had a partner and maybe we'd had like a big fight or something, and then I'd gone to work that day, that's in my head all day. And I have a really hard time being like, this can wait till later. Be present and mindful right now.
Yeah.
So that's something that I work super hard on. It could even be like knowing that one of my staff members is going through a really tough time right now while they're over there and trying not to worry too much about them while I'm tattooing someone who actually deserves my whole attention and is paying for it right now.
Yeah.
So it's a constant juggling act. I still definitely have not figured it out. there's still a lot of panic attacks and a lot of like anxiety most mornings. And yeah, I don't know. I just try to be as healthy and smart about it as I can, because I've developed some bad habits in the past. It made things way worse instead of better.
Okay. So, is this a self-conversation that is unique to you? Like, or are there lots of tattoo artists kind of having these, attempting to be self-aware in this way and trying to be healthier? Or is, I mean, do you talk to your staff about this?
Yeah, I talk to my staff a lot, all day, every day. Like, I'm talking, they'll call me in the morning on the way to work to have a chat about how they're feeling about things, or on the way home in the evenings on lunch breaks, like we kind of regather or whatever if there's a break to see how people are going. And
yeah,
we're often all in the same kind of boat trying to just get through the day mentally, I think, and sort of like hyping each other up and reassuring each other along the way when we're not feeling super good and things like that, and just trying to have each other's backs, basically. So yeah, in our shop and my other close friends that work in some other studios around the place as well, we're all really self-aware and I think on top of that sort of stuff. I don't know that it's that common across the industry more broadly, I think.
Do you debrief after particular clients? Like if you had somebody who
all the time. Yep.
What's the benefit of that?
I think for me, sometimes I just need reassurance that I'm not going crazy. You know, I can have a particularly traumatic day and then I can sit down. Like Ali is my best friend and works in my shop. I can often sit with her at the end of a long day as well and be like, oh my God, I just heard all this and dealt with all this. What do you think? And be like, it's okay. I would be upset if I heard that too. Like, do you know what I mean?
Oh,
and then
nice.
Be like, oh, okay, it's okay to feel this way. It's fine. And I think pretty much every day we debrief at the end of the day.
Yeah,
awesome. Like that. So, and try and get coffees together in the mornings and just have a chat about how we're feeling and all that sort of stuff.
That's powerful.
Yeah, because if you're not getting along and if you're not right set of mind, like I feel like one bad day and the business can just go sideways straight away.
Yeah. And when we talk about healthy empathy, you've really demonstrated the three, I mean, we talk about the three types, emotional, cognitive, and compassionate, but that we also talk about three directions, which is for yourself first and foremost. For your colleagues and your team is second, and then for the clients is third. Because if you just try to do empathy for clients without self or team, it doesn't work because you burn out. And the fact that you have that self-awareness, and we're never going to be perfect at it. You know what I mean? We are never going to be perfect at this empathy thing. We are never going to be perfect at this self-care thing. I thought of something the other day and I thought if I could summarize this empathy thing in a nutshell, it would be give a shit and get curious.
Fair.
It's essentially, and that's about yourself. You've got to give a shit and you've got to get curious. Why am I feeling this way? What can I do? What's going on? What do I need? Same for your colleagues. Like, give a shit about them and get curious. What's going on? How did you feel? Like, that makes perfect sense. And then the same for your clients. It's not the most graceful of taglines. I'm not going to put it on my website. But at the same time, it's like we can't overthink this thing, but it is so powerful. Like the implications in terms of you, your mental health, your clients, their experience, your business, of that self-awareness that it takes from you to say, right, what culture do I want in my shop?
Yeah, I want a nice, supportive, safe one where I can be anxious and it's okay. And so can my client. Yeah, I've been to a lot of different shops and experienced a lot of different cultures and things like that. And it's part of the reason why I decided to jump into my own so early in my career, which is generally like heavily frowned upon in the industry, to be honest. So I've copped a lot of criticism for it. But I just wasn't happy there. And I knew that if I was in another space based on the ones, like the opportunities that I had, the offers to work in places that I had, that I would not perform well. Like I wouldn't be able to like hold myself together and still be empathetic for my clients and still do a good tattoo when I'm also dealing with some of the things that I'd see or hear in other places. So it might not be the most financially successful shop. We might not be like the most famous tattooers or doing the best tattoos ever, but we have like a nice safe place where we like coming to work and our clients love coming in and they often provide reassurance. And I have like little albums that I keep now of little messages that I get after tattoos and things like that. So when I'm having a bad day, I can have a look at, thanks for making me feel really safe. And it was like really important and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And something's gone right. So, you know,
yeah,
the doors are still open for now. So,
yeah, but it is so important, that customer experience and operating. And in all honesty, the answer is the same. It doesn't matter who I'm interviewing, whether it's a surgeon or a tradie or a somebody in the arts. If you've got a leader who believes in an empathetic culture and you've got a good team and you understand the power of this, that's what makes a difference.
Yeah.
Leadership and team are huge, because then you can, I guess, approach everything with that sense of not relaxation, but almost ease, that you don't have the additional pressure of a toxic environment or...
Yeah. Yeah, I've had that before in other careers and things like that. And it's just, I just wouldn't survive. I just know I wouldn't survive. I would die. I would quite literally die. I would quit in the first few weeks, I think. Just even thinking about other cultures that I've been a part of and stuff in workplaces, and then the anxiety and the stress and the lack of sleep and all that sort of stuff, and then just trembling all day with anxiety. It's like, how am I going to hold a tiny needle perfectly steady when my entire body is shaking like a leaf? Like, it's just not worth it. And maybe I'm just different and it's just harder for me to study than for other people or something, but I need to be safe and comfortable to do a good tattoo, or it's all over.
Like I said, I'm yet to hear somebody go, it doesn't matter.
Mm.
Just tell people what to do. Environment can be toxic. Like, I talk about the art of empathy, attract, retain, and thrive. You want to attract the best people. You want to be the employer of choice. You want people to hear about you. You want to keep them, because it's much more positive and efficient and cost effective to keep people than to replace people. And you want a culture and a business that thrives. And it's all based on this give a shit and get curious, like the ability to share and understand the feelings and perspectives of someone else and respond in a way that makes them feel heard, valued, visible, and safe.
Mm. Yeah, very true.
So, Mark, do you have any advice for, I guess, people in the industry? Because we talked about advice for clients, but for people who are in the tattoo industry, thinking of getting into the tattoo industry, becoming a tattoo artist, what sort of advice have you got for them in terms of empathy?
Oh, dear. Getting into the tattoo industry. Like, I'm not sure how I made it in, to be honest. Like, I feel like you have to have such a thick skin to survive, and I'm still not sure how I've made it this far, to be honest, being so sensitive about everything. Yeah, my advice to everyone is do a lot of therapy. Like, it's more important that I don't care if you can draw. I can teach you how to draw. I can't teach you how to be a good person. So do your therapy, read, do your self-help, put away any drug abuse and alcohol and other things. Sort out your own trauma before you even think about becoming a tattoo artist, because it's going to get way worse if you don't.
Yeah.
It's depressing and pessimistic, but I think it's the reality. The industry is wild. It's oversaturated, and you're going to have to do something different, and all of these sort of malicious characters, I think, are gradually just going to get pushed further and further out. So I think if you're not on point with, like, your social skills and empathy and, you know, all that sort of stuff, then you won't have a career in 10 years.
And also, as a member of the public, I'd prefer my tattoo artist wasn't drinking or on drugs today.
Me too.
That would be...
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I suppose it's a coping mechanism, isn't it? It's... Right.
Yep.
So advice is sort yourself out, get self-aware, and then draw the pictures.
Yeah. I mean, you can draw, but it's so much more than that. I think that, because I get asked to take on apprentices every other day at the shop, and I'll get sent a message and it'll just be a bunch of drawings and a bunch of art, like, I want to do a tattoo, I want to be a tattoo artist, blah, 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 blah. And then you kind of talk to people and it's like, if no life experience, you've no idea what the job looks like, you've never been tattooed before, like, you don't, you know what I mean? And there's just so many of them that you can't sit there and give someone like a 1 hour debrief on how to get into the industry. So I think ask to meet people, go to conventions, get tattooed by people. Like, the best way to become a tattoo artist is to get tattooed by people that you like and talk to them about tattoos. They will come and do it to me now, and they'll ask me about stuff, and I'll explain to them how I'm tattooing them and that sort of stuff, and just give them like little tips and stuff like that. I think support the industry is a good way to get into it, rather than being sort of on the outside and being like, I want to do this. I want to put art on people's bodies, but not really care about anything else.
Yeah, the technical is not the priority by the sounds of it and won't be in the future.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's really hard, but it's the easy part still, I think. Coming up with the idea in the first place and then also doing all the communication and the experience stuff is way harder, and it's like 99% of the job.
Yeah.
Putting the tattoo on the actual day is the easy part. I think a lot of people sometimes as well see that, you know, like you get a tattoo and you maybe get quoted like $500 or something for a tattoo. People are like, oh, tattoos are so expensive. It's like, yeah, it took me 4 hours to do the tattoo and I did 24 hours of work outside of that, like in other things, preparing for you and drawing and all this other stuff. So, yeah, I don't know if that's answered the question.
I think it has. I think with both the empathy for and empathy from, it comes down to self-awareness.
Mm.
What are your boundaries and what are your emotional literacy and why does this matter and how do you care about people essentially?
Mm,
mm. And when bringing that into a business, it's that ability to build those relationships. There's not a business that exists that doesn't have its foundation in relationships.
Mm, mm.
And the more I think that people can understand that and the more we can have those conversations, not only will that strengthen the industry, but it will make it easier for people to choose a tattoo artist and feel safe and have a positive experience and then tell other people about it.
Absolutely agree, yeah.
So it feels like there is no downside. It does also feel like there's still work to do in terms of things like debriefing and emotional literacy and these empathetic conversations and self-care and all those sorts of things. There's still work to do. But the fact that it's been acknowledged as work to do is a huge piece of the puzzle.
Mm. Completely agree. There's just too much. Like, there's just, it's overwhelming thinking about how much stuff we have to do in the industry to make it better, frankly, or good enough, even really.
Yeah. But you can only control what's in your shop. And by the sound of it, your shop.
We have it good. We're lucky.
Well,
actually, no, we've worked super hard, to be fair. But we have a really good environment and we have the best clients and it's all sweet now. Thank God. Now I have to just maintain that.
Yeah.
And find a way to make money as well.
Well,
but you know, that'll come later.
It'll come. It'll come. Word will get out. And here you are today.
Mm.
Here you are today. Thank you so much for our conversation today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, for my lovely listeners, if you would like to learn more about Mark and his work, his shop is at Stones Corner.
It
is that right?
Yeah, Logan Road. You'll never find it unless you book in for an appointment, but it's hidden away there somewhere.
Okay. So don't try and do a walk by. But please check out his Instagram. So you've got two Instagram accounts. We've got Iron Hides with an S tattoo, as well as Fire and Iron Tattoo.
That's
so
it,
Mark Richardson, find him on Instagram, Iron Hides Tattoo or Fire and Iron Tattoo. If you'd like to learn more about how to practice healthy empathy in your life or work, please reach out to me at empathyfirst.com.au, where you'll find quizzes, courses, and resources. If you would like a copy of my new free self-empathy workbook, you can email me at leanne@empathyfirst.com.au. So my name's Leanne Butterworth, and this was the Professional Empathy Podcast.